we have actually, at least for today, we have run out of people named Molly and Haw. There is no Molly here. There is no Haw here. Molly's a little bit under the weather here the last couple of days. Haw is tending to some personal business. I assume that he'll probably be back tomorrow. And so it is from the Chicago Sports Network. It is Ruthie Polinsky and me, Mark Grody. What's up, Ruthie?
What's up, Grody? How fun is this? Oh, bright and early.
It's the best. It is the best. It's so funny, like when you walk in, when you are subbing on a morning show, I've always noticed that the, and in this case, Dustin Rhodes, there's always that almost apology. Sorry you had to get up so early today. Sorry. We understand how dreadful it is on a moment's notice. So it's, I knew about 3 o'clock yesterday, but neither of us is probably in great shape for the mornings in terms of being up this early and talking.
This is not really our status quo by any means, right? In sports, you're always up late, you're watching games, you're covering whatever it may be. For us, the alarm goes off real early on these mornings, but it's all for a good cause.
It is for a good cause because we got tons of stuff to talk about today. What were you watching last night, Ruthie Polinsky?
Last night I had the Bulls on, I had the Blackhawks on, and I was, yeah, it was overwhelming a lot by just some, a lot of bad.
Yeah, the Bulls. The Bulls last night. They,
it's tough.
They lose to the Dallas Mavericks 119-99, and they were like, there was nothing really redeeming about the game last night.
I think you could probably make a case for Matis Buzelis, who you kind of are starting to see him get more comfortable. That's exciting, I think, if you're a Bulls fan right now, but other than that, there was, it left a lot to be desired.
Yeah. Yeah. Buzelis was good. He had a career high 13 points. I think it's the first time that he's actually been in double figures, 9 rebounds, couple of steals, a block. He did look comfortable out there. And sometimes that can be on the account of other guys being out, like Zach LaVine was out again last night. Lonzo Ball continues to be out with that right wrist injury. But that's kind of like, that game last night was what we expected out of the Bulls.
23 turnovers. Turned into 28 points.
Boom.
For the Mavs.
Boom.
And like, there you go. Like, that's all you need to look at. And you're like, yeah, you're not going to win games if you're playing like that.
They were just funning with the Bulls towards the end. Like, just watching.
It hit 30. Didn't it hit 30? I think it hit, at one point they were down by 30.
Maybe. I know it was 25 at one point in time.
Yeah.
It might have been 30, but yeah, Luka Doncic, 27 points, 7 rebounds, 13 assists, so he was just shy of the triple-double last night, and it just, in the fourth quarter, before they took out their starters, it just looked like he was like, okay, let's just have some fun here and just beat Luka and just Luka all over the place. I mean, this is a really good team. Kyrie Irving, 17 points, 6 rebounds, a couple of assists. Our guy Daniel Gafford, the ex-Bull, 17 points, 3 blocks on the night, dunking left and right. Daniel Gafford, that was my favorite part about his time with the Bulls. I didn't know he would go on to be as successful as he has been. He's not necessarily a superstar or anything like that, but that dude is an absolute athlete out there. But the Bulls were bad in the paint. They were bad on offense, except, well, and we're giving Matis Buzelis the exception there. Bad defense, like,
yeah.
Very little. Like, Kobe White, 3 of 13. Old Josh Giddey, 3 of 9. Io Desumu, 2 of 13 from the field. But I guess, again, Ruthie, this is what people expected from the Bulls. And maybe, quite frankly, I want to say people, the Bulls organization is what I mean. This is sort of what they expected and maybe even wanted, because they know that this is a development year and essentially they are trying to rebuilding back up, but they've got these guys who are still formidable NBA players like Zach LaVine, like Nikola Vucevic. But this might have been, circle this game as, ooh, hey man, those, the 4 wins that the Bulls have had so far this year, it's been fun, but that's probably more of the Chicago Bulls right there of 2024.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Josh Giddey too, because when I was watching, I just kind of felt like he was making some plays here and there, and I was like, oh, this player, he's actually a little bit more exciting than I anticipated. And I know he's an exciting player, but he's more exciting to watch. But then I look at his numbers and it's like 1 of 3 from 3, 3 of 9 from the field. It's just, yeah, it it's just not five turnovers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't really do that.
Yeah, everybody got a couple turnovers. Everybody got
you theirs. Get a turnover and you get a turnover.
That one's for you. So the Bulls are now, they are 4-4. They are right back home against Minnesota tonight. So the Bulls with the start of back-to-backs, we'll see if they fare slightly better tonight. But yeah, it just wasn't a good performance last night, unless you do look at Buzelis as mm-hmm. a nice point of development. I'm sure that it was. I was at Halas Hall yesterday.
How was that?
Like I usually am. It was good. It's a bouncy day. You know how Wednesdays are.
Bouncy.
It was bouncy because you got the Floos up there, and then you have Caleb talking, DJ Moore talking, and then a locker room access.
Were you a part of any team meetings?
I was not part of any team meetings. We should probably talk about the team meetings, because we were just talking about that before we came on the air. You and me and Dustin Rhodes, in regards to the word has gotten out that there was another team meeting, another spirited team mm-hmm. meeting where guys were allowed to be transparent and talk about whatever they want to air out. And this has been like a big thing this year, the players kind of being in control of the team.
Yeah, I think Floos kind of tried to clarify a little bit yesterday. This isn't like a, you know, sit around, hold hands, kumbaya, like let's all, you know, share our feelings. I think they're having a lot of team meetings, as they should be, right? They're an NFL team. You would like to know that they're meeting as a team.
It's a good thing, yeah.
Probably, especially after a couple of losses like that. You want to sit down and be able to, you know, have a motivational speech or whatever it may be to kind of regroup and get situated and be able to turn the page, because that's something that even the players said they felt like they didn't turn the page quick enough last year. So hopefully that's or last week, excuse yeah. me. So that's what's happening, hopefully this week. But I do think a lot is being made of these like team meetings, and people think it's like we got to have a team meeting. It's like, no, let's have the regularly scheduled meeting that we have every Monday. And perhaps this one was maybe more spirited and more players spoke up. Like Flew said yesterday, you know, I sometimes will open the floor, and it sounds like some guys spoke up. And I think that's a really positive thing. I see that as something that good teams should do. You know, if this was a bad team with no leaders, probably no one would have raised their hand and said, I have something to say.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think a lot is being made of these like team meetings, because as outsiders, we don't understand kind of just like the daily schedule, whereas like this is every Monday we meet, whether we win or we lose, we're going to talk about what happened before, you know, you go get treatment or whatever you need to
yeah,
do.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to hear from Floos and Cole come out here in just a second, but it is an interesting point, because clearly this team is different than a lot of others. It's certainly different than any, I've been on the full-time beat since 2018. This team is way different from any other team that I've covered, in that, just from the very base, they have 8 captains in that locker room, which when you talk to other NFL players, ex-NFL players, it doesn't happen. I mean, I'm not mm-hmm. sure if it's unprecedented in the NFL, but it's pretty rare when you've got 8 guys with a voice. So I keep saying, and I don't know how Matt Eberflus feels about it, but I always think, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you implement, because if you have 8 captains, then you're going to have 8 guys who have different personalities, who may want to impose their will, who may want to speak out, who may want to say things, who may want the football.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've toggled back and forth between, is there a problem with the players towards Matt Eberflus, or is this actually a really good thing? Because the players feel empowered, and we all know that in life, Ruthie, if we hold things in, it's not good for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Then we don't get things worked out, and then you walk around being mad at each other, and then you may whisper something to a reporter, or in life, you may whisper something to a friend, or whatever the case may be. But in this case, it sounds like most of the players, if they have something to get off their chest, if Mercedes Lewis is not happy because Shane Waldron is not yelling at people enough, or whatever the case may be, they have, or scripted 15 plays, whatever the case may be, they now seem to feel empowered to do that. So I go back and forth. Is it too much power for the players,
Or is the joke on us and it's just perfect because they're having these great conversations and maybe this is just a bad, bad two-game losing streak. Mm-hmm. And because they're allowed to be transparent and because there's this open communication and because they're supposedly close, this is a good thing.
Yeah, I hear you on that. It's hard for us to know, right? I mean, all we can do is listen to what we're hearing. And I think Jalen Johnson said it on these airwaves on the afternoon show that everything that they said, all the players came out and said last week where, you know, maybe they were told, hey, let's not go out and air our dirty laundry.
Not everything, right.
But
right.
Jalen Johnson right. said, you know, everything I said, I had already told my coaching staff.
Great point.
So mm-hmm. I think there's an element of like, this isn't like they feel like they're like us against them, like the players versus the coaches. I do believe that they're all kind of united in this at this juncture. Could that go south if they lose to the Patriots? Oh, baby, buckle up. I mean, that scares me. But I do feel like right now, I just feel like a lot is being made of like the players or like Matt Eberflus has lost the locker room. Like, I just don't see that. I think they're 4-4. Like, they still have a lot to play for. And do they need to be better? Like, 100%. But I think they also are sitting there being like, we're 4-4. Arizona was 4-4 going into that game, and they were leading their division. So, like, that just shows you kind of, like, 4-4 is not 500. Like, I know we're 0-0. Like, that's not how that works.
Yeah, right,
but
right.
Let's do the math. but I do understand that, like, I do think the players see, like, we're not a bad team. This isn't, like, going south yet. It could.
Yeah. Well,
it really could.
I
and I think that's what's scary for fans.
I love that you brought up Arizona because they weren't feeling great coming into the Bears. Imagine how good their week is.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how good all those Bears fans were there. Those sports talk radio in Arizona is probably buzzing. Like,
popping
off. They won a game where Kyler Murray was kind of non-existent,
right.
And they dominated the Bears with their run game, and they've got this great quarterback, too. Well, some people don't think he's so great, but like that to your point about how quickly things change in the NFL, the Bears are still, throughout everything, and I got a lot to say about the Bears today and DJ Moore and Caleb Williams. And
oh, yeah.
We have a lot. Like they have legitimately struggled, and Caleb Williams has been rough the last couple of weeks. But if they beat New England, we're not going to come in here on Monday saying, well, that's a 2-7 team. Like, if the Bears win, like, in convincing fashion over the Patriots, we're going to come in here and it's going to be like, yep, party's back on, bro. 5-4. The Bears are heading into the
Green Bay.
They're heading into the gauntlet of the season. So it's, especially that. But again, then it's so fragile right now because I keep calling it the trilogy of games. The bad Hail Mary loss 2 weeks ago, the terrible loss in Arizona. Now, if they do complete the trilogy and lose this game to Arizona, watch out.
To New England, you mean? If they lose to Arizona. Yeah,
say?
They lost to Arizona.
Did I say Arizona again?
But that's okay.
Let me take another sip of this coffee right here.
Yeah, please.
Go ahead.
Chug. I think New England is arguably the worst team in the league right now. Like, they're very bad. The best player on their team is probably the quarterback, who's fine.
Who's not that good yet.
He's fine. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely things for Patriots fans to get excited. He's not Tom Brady, but like he's good.
Yeah, I like Drake May.
But there is not a lot of talent or skill at all.
They got their own
anywhere.
Coaching issues there.
I'm like looking at the roster. I'm like, who are these people? Like coaching issues. It's the whole thing. They're soft. You know, their coach is getting called. So I think this is an opportunity to get right. And if you don't, there's the trilogy.